कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर नारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर नारी जशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरा वनचारी जमुना तीरा वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे নিত্যাই গৌর হরিবোল 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 জয় জয় প্রভুপাদ 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 গৌর প্রেমানন্দে হরি হরি জয় ওং বিষ্ণুপাদ পরমহংস পরিব্রাজকাচার্য অষ্টোত্তর শত শ্রী শ্রীমান অভয় চরণারবিন্দ ভক্তি বেদান্ত স্বামী প্রভুপাদ কি জয়। অনন্ত কোটি বৈষ্ণব বৃন্দ কি জয়। নামাচার্য শিল হরিদাস ঠাকুর কি জয়। প্রেম সে কহু শ্রীকৃষ্ণ চৈতন্য প্রভু নিত্যানন্দ শ্রী অদ্বৈত গদাধর শিবাসাদি গৌর ভক্ত বৃন্দ কি জয়। শ্রী শ্রী রাধা কৃষ্ণ গোপ গোপীনাথ শ্যামকুণ্ড রাধা কুণ্ড গিরি গোবর্ধন কি জয়। শ্রী বৃন্দাবন ধাম কি জয়। শ্রী মথুরা ধাম কি জয়। শ্রী জগন্নাথপুরি ধাম কি জয়। শ্রী মায়াপুর নবদ্বীপ ধাম কি জয়। গঙ্গা মাই কি জয়। যমুনা মাই কি জয়। ভক্তি দেবী কি জয়। তুলসী মহারানী কি জয়। হরিনাম সংকীর্তন কি জয়। সমবেত ভক্তবৃন্দ কি জয়। গৌর প্রেমানন্দে হরি হরি বোল। অল গ্লোরিজ টু দ্য অ্যাসেম্বলড ডিভোটিজ। All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatta Deshatarine. শীল প্রভুপাদ কি জয়। ওং নমো ভগবতে বাসুদেবায়। ওং নমো ভগবতে বাসুদেবায়। ওং নমো ভগবতে বাসুদেবায়। নারায়ণং নমস্কৃত্যা নরং চৈব নরোত্তমং দেবীং সরস্বতীং ব্যাসং ততো জয়মুদীরয়ে। নষ্টপ্রায়েষু অভদ্রেষু নিত্যং ভাগবত সেবয়া। ভগবতী উত্তম শ্লোকে ভক্তির ভবতি নৈষ্টিকী। শ্রীমদ ভাগবতম সেভেন্থ ক্যান্টো থার্ড চ্যাপ্টার টেক্সট 30। This chapter is entitled as Hiranyakashipu's plan to become immortal. Text 30. Tam sapta tantun bitan bito nasi tanva traya chatur হোত্রক বিদ্যয়া চ ত্বম এক আত্মাত্মবতাম আত্মাত্মবতাম অনাদির অনন্ত পারহ কবীর অন্তরাত্মা।
এটা বন্ধ করে দিন।
tam sapto tantun bitana sitanya. Tvam sapto tantun bitano sitanva. Traya chatur hotra kabiddayacha. Traya chatur taya chatur hotra kabiddayacha. Tameka atmatma vatam anadir. Tvameka atmatma vatam anadir. Anantapara kavirantaratma. Anantapara kavirantaratma. Tvam sapta tantun bitano sitanya. Traya chatur hotra kaviddayacha. Tvameka atmatma vatam anadi. Anantapara kavirantaratma. Mataji, very good. Tvam, you, sapta tantun, the seven kinds of Vedic ritualistic ceremonies, beginning from the Agnishtom Yajna, bitanosi, spread, tanva, by your body, traya, the three Vedas, Chatur Hotranika, of the four kinds of Vedic priests, known as Hota, Adharyu, Brahma, and Udgata, Vidya, by the necessary knowledge, Cha, also, Tvam, you, ekah, one, atma, the super soul, atmavatam, of all kinds of living entities, anadi, without beginning, anantapara, without end, kavihi, the supreme inspirator, the supreme inspirer, anta atma, the super soul within the core of the heart. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. My dear Lord, by Your form as the Vedas personified, and through knowledge relating to the activities of all kinds of yajnik brahmanas, You spread the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies of the seven kinds of sacrifices headed by Agnishtoma. Indeed, You inspire the yajnik brahmanas to perform the rituals mentioned in the three Vedas. Being the Supreme Soul, the Super Soul of all living entities, You are beginningless, endless, and omniscient, beyond the limits of time and space. Purport by Srila Prabhupada, the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies, the knowledge thereof, and the person who agrees to perform them are inspired by the Supreme Soul. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Matta Smritir Gyanam Apohanam Cha, from the Lord come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. The Super Soul is situated in everyone's heart. Sarvasya Chaham Riddhi Sannivishto Ishara Sarva Bhutanam Riddheshe Arjuna Tishtati. And when one is advanced in Vedic knowledge, the Super Soul gives him directions. Acting as Super Soul, the Lord gives inspiration to a suitable person to perform the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. In this connection, four classes of priests, known as Ritvik, are required. They are mentioned as Hota, Adharyu, Brahmo, and Udgata. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chukshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunnavadi Paschatta Deshutarine. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. My dear Lord, by Your form as the Vedas personified, and through knowledge relating to the activities of all the yajnik brahmanas, You spread the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies of the seven kinds of sacrifices headed by Agnishtom. Indeed, You inspire the yajnik brahmanas to perform the rituals mentioned in the three Vedas. Being the Supreme Soul, the Super Soul of all living entities, You are beginningless, endless, and omniscient, beyond the limits of time and space. What a wonderful prayer. But who is offering this prayer to whom? It sounds like this prayer is being offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But who is the prayer offered to? Lord Brahma. And by whom? A great devotee, no doubt. Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu wanted to become immortal. And he wanted to become immortal because he wanted to take revenge against the Supreme Personality of Godhead for killing his brother. He got to know that Hari killed his brother Hiranyaksha. So he decided to take revenge. And he also realized that Hiranyaksha was equally powerful. And Hiranyaksha has been killed by this Hari, so Hari is more powerful. So to defeat Hari, he has to become more powerful than Hari. Therefore, he has to become immortal. If he became immortal, then he could defeat Hari. So he went to the valley of the Mandara mountain and he stood on his toe and stood there with his hands stretched upwards for 100 Divya Yugas. And during that time, his body was eaten up by the ants, and the ants created a hill around his body. And on top of the hill grew grass and bamboos and all sorts of things. So his whole body was eaten up. It was just a skeleton standing. And his soul was preserved within the bone marrows. All the organs, flesh, blood, everything was eaten up. And due to his austerity, such heat was generated that the demigods couldn't stay in the heavenly planet. That heat reached up to the heavenly planets. And the demigods went to Brahma and reported to him. What did they tell Brahma? That this Hiranyakashipu wants to occupy your position. He wants to occupy the position of Brahma. Because Hiranyakashipu's understanding was that Brahma is the greatest personality. And that is the materialistic perception. When we perceive things from the materialistic calculation, then we can go all the way up to Brahma. But the spiritual reality is beyond this material nature, beyond this universe, beyond this material nature. Therefore, the materialistic people cannot have any understanding about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The only way one can get to know about the reality that exists beyond our sense perception, the reality that exists beyond our sight, is by hearing from a bona fide spiritual master. The bona fide spiritual master gives us the information about the spiritual reality which is beyond our sense perception. The only way we can perceive that reality is through hearing. Out of our five senses, eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and touch, the only sense that can reach that domain is hearing or shruti. The ears in Sanskrit is called shruti. Therefore, only by hearing, therefore this process is known as shrota pantha. Shrota pantha. Just by hearing, we can get to know about that spiritual reality. And when one hears from a bona fide spiritual master with faith, shraddhaya, with faith, then he can perceive that reality. So unfortunately, Hiranyakashipu was not fortunate enough. And not only that, I was very envious. Materialistic people naturally become very envious. Because the tendency in the material nature is to exploit this world for sense gratification. Everybody in this material nature is motivated by this one factor, one desire, one intention. How to enjoy by exploiting. This is the world of exploitation. And this tendency to exploit naturally leads to the first outcome, lust. The desire to enjoy is lust. And then it goes on, greed, anger, illusion, pride, envy. So in this material nature, as long as one remains in the material nature, one cannot get rid of envy. But when one becomes free from envy, then only he becomes qualified to understand the spiritual reality. Therefore, about Bhagavatam, practically the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam is describing the qualification of understanding Srimad Bhagavatam, or the informations about the spiritual reality, informations about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is Nirmatsaranam. Matsar means envious. Nirmatsar means non-envious. When one becomes free from envy, then only he becomes qualified to appreciate Srimad Bhagavatam or the informations about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Here we are seeing Hiranyakashipu is offering such a wonderful prayer. Like, you are the super soul, you are the Vedas personified, it is you who inspire everybody to perform pious ritualistic activities and so forth. But what's his intention? His intention is, demigods actually disclosed it to Lord Brahma. Hiranyakashipu's ultimate intention was to get rid of Brahma and take up this position of Brahma. On the other hand, Lord Brahma as a devotee, we can see he is so compassionate. Oh, you, doesn't matter. He wants to take over my position. If that is what Krishna wants, let him. That is the attitude of a devotee. Marubi rakhobi joicha tohara. Whatever you want, let that be. That is the mood of a devotee. So Brahma came to Hiranyakashipu and asked him, why are you performing such severe austerity? And not only that, Brahma sprinkled some water from his water pot and he rejuvenated his body. The body that was practically lost, and that body was not there anymore. Hiranyakashipu's only skeleton was standing there. But he got a beautiful body. A youthful body, so powerful that even thunderbolt couldn't do anything to that body. The thunderbolt that can crack the mountains couldn't do anything to Hiranyakashipu's body. It was so powerful. And Brahma asked, so what do you want? Why are you performing this severe austerity? And as you know, what did Hiranyakashipu want? Hiranyakashipu wanted immortality. Please make me immortal. The Brahma said, look, I can't make you immortal. Even I am not immortal. And then Hiranyakashipu thought that he would outsmart Brahma. Okay, you don't want to give me immortality? I will make myself immortal. That's another mundane tendency. What cannot happen, they want to make it happen. This body is perishable. This body is bound to die. Jatasahi dhruvar mrittur. Dhruva means absolute truth. So it's an absolute truth that one who is born is bound to die. But he is trying to make himself immortal. Nowadays we also see there are so many efforts are going on to become immortal. The modern scientists are claiming that there are three ways they can make one immortal. Anyway, I don't want to get into that. We can see, in one hand, they are so stupid. And on the other hand, they are so unscrupulous. They are so stupid that they think that they can make this body immortal. They are seeing that the body is changing constantly. From youth, they cannot go back to their childhood, although they would want to. There are so many stories written in that, on that concept. They could go back to their childhood, or they could travel through time, and they could go back to the past and so forth. Everybody wants to go back to the past and restructure, reorganize their life. But it never happens. They can see that they cannot even go back. What to speak of past life? Or they cannot even go back to yesterday. They cannot even go back to a minute before. They cannot get back this time that is flowing constantly. And along with the time, the body is changing. And eventually the body is going to die. Birth, death, old age and disease. These are four unavoidable facts of life. But demoniac people, they want to undo that. No, we'll make the body immortal. But the reality is that they are immortal. Everyone is immortal. Everyone as a spiritual being is immortal. So why try to make the body immortal? Rather become situated in your actual identity. Then automatically you will become immortal. But unfortunately, these materialistic people, they want to enjoy this material nature in such a way that they do not have any inclination towards understanding the reality. Jai Shri 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 Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivashadi Gaur Bhaktavinoda. Shri Shri Radha Madhava ki jaye, Shri Shri Prahlad Nrisingha Dev ki jaye, Srila Prabhupada ki jaye. The apparent devotion of the so-called devotees of the demigods has been very wonderfully explained in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. The question actually came. The question was presented, Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. He is the most opulent. He possesses everything. Whereas Lord Shiva has nothing. He doesn't even have clothes to wear. He doesn't even have to have a place to stay. Yet, Krishna's devotees are poor and Shiva's devotees are opulent. Isn't it a kind of an irony, a paradox? Krishna, who is the supreme personality of Godhead, the supreme proprietor, his devotees are poor and Shiva's devotees, who himself has nothing, his devotees are so rich. In that respect, of course, the point has been made. The point that has been made is very important. Krishna's devotees don't have any desire to get anything. It is not that they are poor, but they don't have any desire to possess anything besides loving devotion to Krishna. All they want is devotion to Krishna. That same point has been made also after Ratha Yatra. In Ratha Yatra festival, as you know, Krishna was kidnapped. Krishna was supposed to go back after the solar eclipse to Dwarka. Krishna didn't come back, so everyone was wondering, what's the matter? Why didn't Krishna come back? And then they got the report. The prince has been kidnapped. Can you imagine if you get a news that your child has been kidnapped, how will you feel? They're in extreme anxiety. Prince has been stolen away. By who? By the residents of Vrindavan. So Rukmini Devi was furious. They dared to kidnap the prince. So she took the army and surrounded Vrindavan. Seized Vrindavan. Then she arrested the residents of Vrindavan. Then the judgment is going to take place. The lawyers of two sides are having their presentations. So the question came up in course of this trial. Dwarka has everything. Dwarka has all the opulence beyond anyone's imagination. Still, why Krishna's heart is in Vrindavan all the time? There is nothing that Dwarka lacks, but still, why Krishna's heart is always in Vrindavan? And Rukmini Devi actually admitted, yes, during the daytime, Krishna is always absent-minded, as if his mind is somewhere else. And at night, Krishna speaks about, in his dream, he speaks about some names of the residents of Vrindavan and the cows of Vrindavan, as if at night he goes to Vrindavan. The question arose, what is there in Vrindavan that attracts Krishna so much above Dwarka that has everything? And the answer was given that in Vrindavan the trees are desire trees. It's a forest. And all the trees in that forest of Vrindavan are desire trees. The land of Vrindavan is Chintamani, touchstone. The cows of Vrindavan are Surabhi cows. So all these three can give anything that one wants. Surabhi cow can give anything that one wants. Desire tree can give anything that one wants. And Chintamani, touchstone, can give anything that one wants. So the residents of Vrindavan can have anything that they want. But the only thing they want is Krishna and nothing else. All they want is Krishna due to their love for Him. So this is why the devotees apparently appears to be poverty-stricken or poor, devoid of possessions. They're devoid of possessions because they don't have any desire for anything else besides devotion to Krishna. Whereas Lord Shiva's devotees, they're gross materialists. They worship Lord Shiva because Shiva is Ashutosh. He gets pleased very quickly. And he is ready to give any. He is ready to grant any boon, anything. And in that respect, the attitude of Lord Shiva's devotee had been exemplified through one anecdote. The anecdote was the story of Brikasura. Brikasura, a demon, he was worshipping Lord Shiva, great devotee of Lord Shiva. such a great devotee that he was cutting his flesh from his body and offering it to the fire. Om Namah Shivaya. And so he was cutting his whole body and offering it to fire. But when Lord Shiva didn't come, he was about to cut off his head and offer it to the fire. Then Lord Shiva came. What do you want? Brihaspati said, whosoever I put my hands on his head would crack into 1,000 pieces. That means he would die. Lord Shiva said, fine. Tathastu. Let it be. So immediately Brihaspati's response, sure, I have this. Let me put my hand on your head and see whether it works. And Lord Shiva started to run for his life. And Brihaspati was chasing him. Lord Shiva was running for his life with Brihaspati on his tail. And then, seeing his condition, the Lord took mercy upon him and said, Okay, Shiva, I'll do something about it. So he appeared as a small child, Brahmana boy, on the way to Brihaspati. Now, so he's running like this. He says, see, Shiva gave me a boon that upon whose head I placed my hand, his head would crack into 1,000 pieces. So he gave me the boon and I want to taste it on his head and he is running away. So that's why I'm chasing him. So he said, what? Did you believe in him? Can anyone give such a boon? And don't you know during Daksha sacrifice, when the brahmanas and the Daksha's followers and the demigods, brahmanas were fighting, then they cursed each other. They cursed Lord Shiva that his boons will not work. So don't you know that? And besides that, who will ever believe such a thing? I never knew, Brika, you are such a fool. See, put your hand on your head and see whether it works. Of course, here you have to understand, along with that, Lord's Jogomaya was working. So Jogomaya made Brika forget about everything and Brika put his hand on his head. And what happened? The head cracked into 1,000 pieces. So here is the difference between Shiva's devotee or Brahma's devotees or demigod's devotees and Krishna devotees. Therefore, they are not identified as devotees. They are identified as traders, businessmen. They are doing business. I'll give 5 rupees. And in return, I'll get 500 rupees. I'll perform some austerities and I will get some. I'll get my desire fulfilled. So that is the attitude of the demons. And these demons actually worship Lord Shiva. And here we are saying, worships Lord Brahma. Why? Because Lord Shiva is very quickly pleased. Whereas Krishna's devotees don't want anything. Krishna bhakta nishkam atoev shanto. A devotee of Krishna is absolutely peaceful because he doesn't have any desire other than serving Krishna. Whereas bhukti mukti siddhi kami shakoli ashanto. The mundaners, those who want to enjoy this material nature, the gyanis who want to become liberated from material bondage, muktikami, and yogis who want siddhi, they all have kaam or desire. Therefore, They are ashanta. They are perturbed. Whereas Krishna Bhakta is completely composed, completely peaceful. Because he is nishkam. Nishkam. Kamoistoistoi hritagyana prapandante anna devata. Krishna is telling in Bhagavad Gita. Kamoistoistoi. Due to kam, due to desire for mundane enjoyment. Hritagyana. Their knowledge has been stolen. And they prapadante anna devata. They worship different demigods. Whereas Krishna Bhakta, Vyavasayatmika buddhi rekeha kuru nandana. Krishna's desire has only one intention. Serve Krishna and please Krishna. Rishikena Rishikesha Shevanam Bhakti Ruchyate. That is the attitude of a devotee. So here we can see, although Hiranyakashipu actually praising Lord Brahma to the same level as the Supreme, he is actually glorifying Lord Brahma as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But is this glorification sincere, honest? No. He is simply flattering him to get his objective, his agenda fulfilled. Just flattering him to get his agenda fulfilled, to become immortal. So, that is the unfortunate state of affairs with these demons. And the most unfortunate thing about them is, no matter how powerful they become, at the end, they're destroyed by the Lord. They're destroyed. Everyone will be destroyed at the end. Until and unless one surrenders himself to Krishna. As death, Krishna will take everyone away and everything away. As time, Krishna will take everything away. Therefore, surrender. So that is the real wise decision. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande. Does anybody have any question or comment? Yes. Is there any mic there? Cordless mic? Thik ache, ekhane eshe bol. Come.
My question is, where did from Hiranyakashipu got this knowledge? Where did from Hiranyakashipu got this knowledge that Brahma and everything?
The question is, where did Hiranyakashipu get all this knowledge? I mean, we can see that Hiranyakashipu was very well conversant with the Vedic knowledge. Actually, all these personalities are born in Brahmana families. So they had their education. So his father, Hiranyakashipu's father is Kashyapa.
Hare Krishna.
Kashyapa. Kashyapa is a great sage. So similarly, Ravana was considered to be one of the greatest performer of Vedic sacrifices. So these are, they are trained with Vedic knowledge, but they did not have the ultimate understanding that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like, one may get the Vedic knowledge, but unless and until one becomes qualified and surrenders unto Krishna, one cannot possibly have this knowledge. They may be expert in ritualistic activities. Like many of the Brahmanas, they're situated in Vedic knowledge. They're expert in performing yagyas. They're expert in reciting mantras. But they are not devotees of Krishna. On the other hand, it's actually been mentioned that in the age of Kali, The demons will be born in Brahminical family. Taking advantage of this age of Kali, many demons will be born in Brahmanaka families. Rakshasa Kalimashritya Jayante Brahma Jonisu. Rakshasas will be born in Brahma Joni, in the Brahminical family. Yes, take the mic, or there is mic is somewhere else.
Maharaj, Hare Krishna Maharaj, since you mentioned Vrindavan, the land and the trees, everything is Chintamani and desired trees. Since this Mayapur is non-different, here also trees and cows and everything is should be cows and desired tree, right?
Yeah. Bhakti Vinod Thakur is saying about Vrindavan that there is a net covering Vrindavan, and what we are seeing with our mundane eyes is just a superficial net. It's not the real Vrindavan. But a devotee will see sthabar jangam dakhe na dakhe tar murti sarvatra sphuraye tar ishto devo sphurti. He sees moving and non-moving things, but he doesn't see the apparent form. He sees his worshipable Lord there. Yeah. Or also, addapiho nitya lila kore gaura rai, kono kono bhagyobane dekhi pare pai. Still now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is performing his pastimes. Only some fortunate souls can see that. So, ultimately, with our mundane eyes, we will see the mundane aspect, apparently mundane aspect. It is with our spiritual vision that we'll be able to see the Dham. Just like Bhakti Vinod Thakur is saying, Dhamero Sharup Sphuribe Noyone Hoibo Radharo Dashi. When will the Swarup of the Dham will become manifest in my eyes? And I'll become a maidservant of Srimati Radharani. So the point is, it is, yes, trees are Kalpavrikshas, right? Land is Chintamani, the cows are Surabhi. But our eyes are mundane. That's the problem. There's a question in written. Bhajananda Das. Okay. Mahadev Shiv Jodi Amorhan, Tale Shiv Brikashwarer Hate, Mrittur Bhaye, Ashankito Holen Kano. E Jodo Jagote. Anyway, he asked the question in Bengali. So I'll just translate. He's saying, Lord Shiva is immortal, then why did Shiva become afraid of Brikashura putting his hand on his head? You see, in the material nature, everyone is mortal. But Lord Shiva's situation is a little different. But still, someday he has to leave the material nature. He came to this material nature through the eyes of Lord Brahma, between the eyebrows of Lord Brahma. And Lord Shiva also will go back. That is, the Rudra form will go back and merge with Sadashiv in the spiritual world. And the thing is that he gave the boon that whoever he places his hand on, his head would break into 1,000 pieces. So, his boon is not going to go in vain. So the point is, if he put his hand on his head, then his head could have split in 1,000 pieces. That's why he became worried. Okay, there was one question here. Somebody, yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, what does take Vaishnavas to reach Vaikuntha, Dwarka or Vrindavan?
Very good. What takes a Vaishnava to reach Vaikuntha, Dwarka or Vrindavan? His attachment to the Lord. If he is attached to Narayan, he'll go to Dwarka, Vaikuntha. If he is attached to Krishna, Vasudev Krishna of Dwarka, he'll go to Dwarka. But if he is attached to Radha Madhav, he'll go to Vrindavan. Alright? Another thing is, another consideration is, following Vaidhi Bhakti, one will go to Vaikuntha. And following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one will go to Vrindavan. Alright? Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Gaur.